Now more of the Wild About Pets radio show on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Susan Frank.
Welcome back to the show and our talk with Kevin Clark, who's the CEO of Critter Control, the nation's leading wildlife control company. We're talking about what to do when wildlife moves in. And we were talking about some of the reasons why it seems like, you know, this service does cost some amount of money to have them come out. And the one thing that we didn't get to touch on is what, Kevin, you referred to, which is the training that they receive. And you called all your technicians certified wildlife specialist.
Well, not all technicians.
Okay.
They have to go through the certification process. We helped, for instance, the state of Michigan, the Department of Agriculture, was very aware that, for instance, that the vertebrate pest control or wildlife control, animal control, was becoming, you know, it had changed over the last 20, 30 years. And they came to us and helped us when they rewrote their 7D vertebrate pest control manual. They had us have input onto the types of information that you needed to test people on for state licensing. So we took some of that same test and further modified it to make it a certified wildlife specialist test in-house that our people can train when inside of our operations manuals and then go take the test. Now, many of these state tests require a passing score of 70%. We require our people to score 80%.
Mm.
So we hold a high standard within the company that, again, it's not automatic. Not every technician is a certified wildlife specialist. So we take the time to train them well so that they know exactly what's going on.
Okay. Oh, by the way, before we get into some of more of the unusual animals that we have some photos of, I did want to ask you something that happens very commonly for homeowners and businesses where somehow the bird accidentally flies in or the squirrel accidentally, you know, comes in. And we're not talking, they're not denning, they just get in the door. And I have this call all the time, how do we get these animals out? Can you offer any tips for people if this happens, Kevin?
Sure. The most common small animals to get inside the house are your bats occasionally and your birds and your squirrels and occasionally, again, coming through that chimney, for instance, or maybe even just through an open door.
Right.
But the easiest thing to do is to open all the doors and maybe some windows and monitor them to make sure that they leave. Now, it's one thing to track a squirrel. We've all seen Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation, and the squirrels run through the house with a dog chasing them. Typically, they stay in one room and don't move around too much, and then you could more or less herd them towards the door.
Okay.
You might even take a few items of furniture and sort of funnel them, if you will, towards an outside door, and you can get them out that way.
And one of the tips that I had offered that worked well was in a place where the squirrel was just running around frantically from room to room, what was suggested was that they, you know, try and close off the doors to the other rooms, you know, keeping the squirrel basically in one room and darkening down, closing the drapes, the shades, and only having one door open where it was a clear light source so that the squirrel would be attracted to that one open light source, and that was one way in which they were able to get
Certainly.
The animal out.
That's a form of funneling, if you will, and again, the same thing. If you can isolate that animal to one room, all the better, because a bat that's flying around the house and disappears, you don't know where it is anymore. They can be hiding behind a curtain in any room, or they go on the floor, underneath couches. They go everywhere. You don't know where
yes.
they're going to go.
Now, here's a personal question of mine. I've been in so many factories and companies, Kevin, that are huge. And, you know, there's no easy door, and a lot of times there's no windows. And I see the birds up there in the rafters or way up, and I know you go into businesses also. How does one or can one get those birds out of these, you know, high ceilinged businesses?
Well, big open air factories are really difficult.
Yeah.
There are situations you'll get birds in grocery stores, for instance, and they're in food stores, and the health department is requiring that you not have any birds in the building.
Yeah.
So there are scientific collecting nets, mist nets, that you can drape across. They're virtually invisible, and by draping them across the store or part of the store, and walking and chasing the birds, they'll fly into it, and they literally fall into a fine pocket of hair. It's very thin netting that entangles them momentarily, and then you can go remove them by hand and put them outside of the store. So that's one example of where you can get them in a big space like that.
Okay. Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad there's something that can be done. I always thought, do they just eventually die there by themselves? Anyway, let's go through some of these exotics. We're going to start with photo number 8. That's an alligator. We are looking at pictures on my website, wildaboutpets.net. You can get there through the Look While You Listen button on the website or click the purple Look While You Listen button on TalkZone.com. So, Kevin, take us briefly through these pictures, and if there's anything you want us to tell us about, you know, these exotic animals that you've had to deal with.
Well, alligators are, again, one of those that have been afforded protection in Florida. They've actually delisted them from, you know, from endangered to just a protected species because they have approximately 1 to 2 million alligators in a state with 17 million people. So you're bound to get some conflicts there.
Mm-hmm.
We trained about 35, maybe 36 of our technicians and managers a few years ago in Florida came to an alligator wrestling farm and trained our technicians on how to deal with alligators because we knew we'd be getting more and more calls. Just last month, and again, they're not just in Florida. They're in Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia. Just last month, we caught a 12-foot, 8-inch, 700-pound alligator that was hanging out at a canoe livery, a new rental spot at a state park. And because it stayed there and they tried to scare it off, it stayed there. They were, you know, afraid that, people renting canoes might tip in, they might have a problem, and the animal had to be removed. Just 2 weeks ago, myself, down in the Florida Keys, had a crocodile swim right past the house. Right in front of us, right in the subdivision. These animals are there, and typically they don't bother you, but you have to be aware that they're there and take precautions.
Right. Now, speaking of alligators, the picture you sent me that's in the little bio section down at the bottom of this page shows you're holding a young alligator here?
Young or middle-aged, I don't know, it's probably a 6.5-foot alligator out in the Everglades. We're in an airboat and doing some research with some other alligator specialists, and that animal was, you know, picked up and monitored and released, and it just happens to be where we've just taken the tape off his mouth and are putting him back in the water.
I see. Okay, because, of course, I was going to ask, of course, you know, you're the CEO and founder of the company. Have you yourself, did you start or do you still go out on calls, and have you had to trap animals yourself?
Well, I've been in the business for 27, 28 years now. So I have been in the field for over 15 years, and, nowadays it's more about building the business and, again, educating and trying to get states to do the right thing as far as licensing and insurance requirements for companies and certifications and in general trying to, you know, raise the bar for the industry.
Which is all a very critical and important work. What about the swan? What do you recall the story of when you had to go relocate a swan?
Several times we've had swans. They're a big bird. People are afraid of them. They can be aggressive, especially when they have young.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had situations where I'm in Traverse City, Michigan right now, and in the closest marina here, they had swans that would leave all the other boats alone except the jet skis. I think the jet skis are sort of white and small, you know, smaller boats. They're white and sort of maybe are shaped a little bit like a swan.
Took
exception to them, and every jet skier was getting attacked that went in there. So one time I had to borrow the guy's jet ski in the Department of Natural Resources called and asked if we'd do anything. And I went down there, borrowed a jet ski, and let the swan chase me, and it was catching up fast. And just when it got there and about to get me, I turned around and grabbed it and sort of handcuffed it, if you will. And it's the time of year they molt their flight feathers anyway. And I was able to pull out the flight feathers on one wing, which in the next 30 days they're going to drop all those flight feathers anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he sort of could only fly in semicircles for a little while, and the experience made it to where he didn't attack jet skiers anymore.
So it was able to stay there. You guys didn't have to move it anywhere.
Didn't have to do anything but teach it not to attack jet skiers. Behavior modification.
Yes. Now, what about a monitor lizard? Where will you find monitor lizards?
Well, iguanas are very prevalent down in the southeast United States and Florida. Mm-hmm. So are the monitor lizards. So are the big boas and pythons and constrictors. A lot of it from the exotic pet trade. These
yes.
get too big, and then they, of course, let them go, and they're become a real problem in a lot of, especially down in Florida.
Yeah, and you know, I did a show about reptiles, and that is happening, and the, you know, that there's a rescue organization, and they're always collecting them. But you know, this is interesting because here is the continuation of that story. You know, they get let go. We hear sometimes people find them, but you are the company of the people who have to deal with this. So, what does that mean for you guys? And I also have pictures of some of the large snakes here, also on the site.
Well, that means we, you know, and typically in areas that were normally didn't contain these animals, when we get the call that there's an animal in my garage, a lizard, they may think a monitor lizard is a gator. They just see this tail sticking out.
Sure.
You know, so you don't know what you're coming up against. And then again, a lot of these animals have, you know, extremely potent bacteria and chemicals in their mouths and their bites that we don't want to be exposed to. So, again, having all the proper tools on the truck, the, you know, the catch poles, the live traps, the throw nets, all these different capture tools we use, probably 60% of our managers have gone through chemical immobilization courses so that they can inject animals with a tranquilizer,
right,
sedate them. If they're really dangerous, we want them sleeping before we're moving them.
Yes. And most of the times, I guess percentage-wise, Kevin, would you say the animals do stay alive and they just get relocated across the country? Or, you know, what are we talking about?
The vast majority of them are either released on site or relocated. And then you have the some exotic animals, for instance, that if we catch them, a lot of times we'll They may go to a zoo, they may go to a museum, a nature center, they may go to a wildlife rehabilitator,
okay.
Aquariums, there's all types of places, pet shops, because they just don't belong in that environment if they're an exotic, and we want to, you know, put them back into a, more of a managed care.
Okay, and I know you particularly wanted to mention bats. Is there something more about bats you'd like to talk about and what happened?
Bats are extremely beneficial. And again, 20, 30 years ago, the pest control industry had one chemical labeled for bats, and it was a dust, Rosol tracking powder. We put it in attics, and it killed the bats. It was bad for the environment.
Right.
So, again, it was a matter of coming up with one-way doors or bat check valves, as we call them, putting them over their entries to where they could get out but not back in. And, they consume just, you know, so many insects every night that you want these animals. So some are very beneficial. Bats, you do not want to remove them now, not this time of year, not in the summertime, especially June, July, and August.
Why is that? That seems counterintuitive. It's nice and warm.
Maternity season, and if you exclude them, the young will be left in to die, and you'll have odors and disease situations. One of the biggest problems you can have with animals in the house are bats, because you can get hundreds of bats, usually small brown bats, that leave inches and inches of guano throughout the entire attic, and the odor just seeps into the timbers and everything else. And I should note that sometimes your insurance company typically doesn't cover commensal rodents, rodent damage like rats.
Uh-huh.
But they do cover wild animals in a lot of cases. And if your attic is totally, if the insulation factor is negated by the fact they've trampled it all down or it's all contaminated with feces, a lot of times your insurance company will pay to get that removed and put in new insulation and get rid of the odor and any associated health hazards.
Oh, that's great information. That's something I had not known about either until I was really reading your website. We have just about two more minutes, and I do want to refer to the website a little bit more, because as you mentioned, you care very much about educating the people, and I liked so much some of what is on www.crittercontrol.com, your section for children. I love a lot of the photographs, the videos, and what was so great is you also have some little audio clips that helps people identify, well, what do these animals sound like? Of course, you have all the fact sheets on them, a lot of resources, and so that's one of the reasons why I was so impressed with your company, Kevin.
The audio clips, video clips, animal mm-hmm. control, damage control, management programs, prevention services, all these things are at the website at crittercontrol.com. And you mentioned earlier, you know, that this is a growing trend, and yes, we feel it is fairly, it's a fairly recession-proof industry because raccoons don't know there's a recession.
Right.
And the housewife with rats in the kitchen knows it's a necessity, not a luxury, to get rid of them.
Yes. Well, we're out of time. My guest today has been Kevin Clark, CEO of Critter Control, the nation's leading wildlife control company. There are offices all around the United States that can help. Critter Control's website has all that information I was referring to. And the link to CritterControl.com is at the bottom of the page of photos we've been looking at on my website, wildaboutpets.net, and on the Talk Zone page. Thank you so much for being on my show today, Kevin.
Thank you.
All of my shows are archived, as well as the Look While You Listen pages of photos. You can access these 24/7 through TalkZone.com or my website, wildaboutpets.net. Thank you to my producer, Dave Olson, and thank you for listening.